Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast. On today's episode, we are going to answer a very common question that I have from patients that are in the clinic and then also people that I work virtually with. That question is, where is the pain coming from? Is it nerve? Is it muscle? Is it the tendons? Is it the joint? Is it my brain? And so we're gonna talk about like the specific tissues, because sometimes I'll explain the mechanics behind the neck and why the neck mobility is important, but there's still this sort of disconnect with a lot of patients about, well, where is the actual pain coming from? Why do I have pain? Okay, I've lost movement, but why is there pain associated to that? And the second question I want to answer on today's podcast is, why what I do works and what do I do? I had this question from a patient this morning and had gone through the process of the first visit, listened to her story, had an opportunity to work on her, and was going through the techniques. And she asked, what is this you're doing? And I explained it to her, but I had this sort of moment of, I wonder if people that listen to my podcast or who have interacted with me in any meaningful way and heard me talk about headaches and migraines, I wonder if the question in their mind is, what is it that I do and why would that help? And so I'm going to try to explain the actual techniques I use, why they're helpful, and go through that sort of process with you. If you are someone who may not ever be able to come see me in person, this will actually help you when you are in the PT clinic's office and you're talking to the PT or going through treatment and you're trying to figure out, hey, is this what's going to help me? So I'll try to go through what I do and how the patient should feel, what you should experience during a PT session. But first of all, let's answer that first question of, is it muscles? Is it nerves? Is it the tendon? What's the problem? Why do I have pain? All right. So we've talked about in that second episode, the most overlooked cause of headaches and migraines. And when I talked about the most overlooked cause, I looked at the joints and how there's two joints in the upper part of the neck. The first one that your head sits on should have about 10 degrees of this forward nodding, which if you've listened to the other podcast, you'll know that typically that's not happening and we're kind of stuck back. And that can be from forward head positioning throughout the day, being more sedentary in your lifestyle. That can be from a car accident. That can be from playing sports. It can be from a whole bunch of different things. It doesn't matter if we know why. It's just the fact that you have headaches. It's likely the neck problem. The first joint we want to look at is that nodding motion. The second joint we want to look at is rotation. So when you turn your head left and right, you should have 45 degrees or so of movement through C1 and C2. So do those not moving just lead to pain? Kind of. And so to answer the question, do joints play into this? Yes, the joint. When I say joint, I'm talking about two bones interacting and the movement that should be experienced. Joints are where we get arthritis. So over time, the arthritic changes kind of tell us that there's stress placed through a joint, and we can see that sort of narrowing effect within the joint. And arthritis can cause a joint to lose its mobility. But mainly what I'm talking about is this sort of adaptation to a lack of movement. So we're just not telling the neck that it can move over and over again. And so it just kind of adapts to a new normal. The joint itself has ligaments that surround it. Ligaments are just tissues that connect bone to bone. It's like kind of a thick tissue. And that ligament will actually adaptively shorten because the joint's not moving. So you found a different way to rotate your head. C1 and C2 doesn't need to do it anymore. And so over time, it adaptively shortens. Now that's kind of the over time explanation. Whereas you can have a shearing effect from like a whiplash injury that can kind of cause inflammation and increase or speed up that whole process, leading to reduced movement through C1 and C2 in the head sitting on the first bone. So the joint itself is held together by ligaments. So joint being two bones held together by ligaments. Those ligaments adaptively shortened. So our body is always getting feedback from our movements and what we teach ourselves in our brain. And it's what we call plasticity in our brain, where our brain's always learning. Well, our muscles are always learning. When we exercise, they develop. And the opposite is also true, where the tendons, ligaments, muscles are going to adaptively sort of waste away or tighten up when we don't use them. And so the joint itself is affected by these ligaments that are adaptively shortening. Now, the ligament can produce pain. Oftentimes, it's kind of where the ligament attaches into the bone itself. This is true for lots of different things. If you have ever experienced like an ankle sprain, you're spraining ligaments. So if you roll your ankle, usually it's in, you're spraining several ligaments on the outside of the ankle. And so those ligaments are irritated and can cause pain. There's inflammation there. That's more of an what we call acute or like an immediate traumatic incident. But the ligament can cause pain. Now, if it's adaptively shortened, it can also not be happy. So that ligament can be a source of pain. Let me back up. So the joint itself, when I refer to the joint, the two bones interacting. So if we think of the bone and the cartilage is intended to allow this sort of smooth surface that the two bones can rotate or slide against. So that spacing, the joint itself, where they contact, that can also be a source of irritation. Now, I don't believe that when it comes to headaches and migraines that the joint itself is the source of pain. I just think that the joint has been sort of stuck. It's not moving. And then it's a cascade effect where other things like the muscles, ligaments are irritated. But the joint itself can be irritated. If the joint is irritated, normally it's kind of an arthritic type pain where you'll feel this like achiness, this deep ache. And patients typically experience that in more load-bearing joints like the hips and the knees, where we have most of our body weight through those joints. And so the arthritic type pain of the joint itself is probably not where the pain is coming from. It's more the ligaments that are holding the joint together are like the first thing that can be sore, irritated, or painful. The second thing, if we look at the muscle and the tendon structure, so a muscle connects to a tendon, the tendon connects to the bone and sort of anchors that muscle on the bone. So there's a couple things that can happen here. Typically, the muscle will be the primary source of pain. So I talk a lot about the joints, but it's because if the joints are restricted, the muscles are going to try to move them, but the joints aren't moving, and so over time the muscles get irritated. But the muscle is actually probably the primary source of pain. So it's the pain-generating thing. It's just that to correct that muscle tension, we have to solve the initial problem, which is that the joint itself is not moving. So the muscle, it's the most sensitive structure in this area where it's the most likely source of pain, the thing that's generating pain. It typically is going to have a little bit more blood flow to it. The sensory nerve innervation might be a little bit more robust or pronounced. And so the muscle itself, the brain is constantly getting feedback from the muscle. And so if the muscle's not happy, that's the most immediate, like, okay, the brain is responding to the muscles. And so typically when I am working with a patient, or to answer the question of, is it nerve, is it joint, is it muscle? It's kind of like all the above, because we have to address all of the things. But the joint is the initial problem. That's what needs to be addressed. That's what needs to be treated, which I'm going to talk about how I treat that in a second. But the muscle is where the pain is actually coming from. So that's where the sensory nerve is picking up the pain signal, sending it through the brainstem. It hits the brain and you realize, ouch, something hurts. Okay, so the muscle, what's happening there? The muscle is trying to move these joints. It gets fatigued because the joint's not moving, and it develops what's called a trigger point. So think of the muscle as having all, like, let's say there's 100 different fibers. And if 10 of those fibers are going to respond in this protective response where it says, okay, I'm not getting anything done, I'm fatigued, I'm overworked. And so 10% of those 10 fibers kind of contract and they ball up. What that does is it restricts blood flow, because the muscle has to contract and relax in order for blood flow to get to the muscle. And so if it contracts, it actually restricts blood flow. And it develops this little, if you feel it on the undersurface of the skin, it feels like a pea. And we call it a trigger point or a knot. And that trigger point, it are those fibers that are just balled up. Now, when I put, this is sort of transitioning into partially what I do in treatment. And this is what massage therapists will work on as well. But if you put 15 seconds or so of pressure on a trigger point, what happens is the muscle actually, it responds to that pressure as almost like a more extreme form of danger or potential harm. And instead of balling up, it says, okay, I guess I have to relax. And then the muscle will relax, blood flow will be restored, and it'll feel better. So oftentimes if you just put that 15 seconds of pressure on that little knot that you feel in the neck, in that muscle, it will calm down, or at least it'll calm down where you're pressing. Then you move it slightly and it'll be angry again because, you know, there's all sorts of little pain points going on in the neck. So the muscle is like what is going to be most sensitive when you push on it. The muscle is what you're feeling at the base of your skull, top part of your neck. The muscle is what you want your spouse to work on, or you want the massage therapist to press on. And so the muscle is what's sending your pain, but the muscle is not, it's kind of a distractor. So if I were to just focus on the muscles, the pain would likely just come back over and over and over again. And that's why massage therapy can be good, but oftentimes it'll feel good for a little bit and then it'll come right back. Feel good, come back. And the muscle is constantly responding to what the joint is telling it. The joint's saying, I can't move. The muscle says, I'm trying to move you, and the muscle fatigues. And it's just this cycle. So the muscle, treating the muscle is a distractor. It's good. It's good to at least try to calm it down, because if I have a patient in front of me and it's session number one and they lie down on the table and I am evaluating their neck, which basically means I'm just feeling what we call the suboccipital area, this area just below the back of their head. And I'm feeling all these different muscles. We've got several different layers. There's little tiny muscles that can be irritated. I am feeling if those muscles are angry. And if they are angry, I don't have to assess joint mobility. I don't have to look at what the joint's doing, because if the muscle's angry, I can almost assume that the joint is not moving the way it should, because the muscle is just basically telling me like, hey, I'm angry. I've got this trigger point. I don't want to work the way I'm supposed to because the joint won't let me. And so I can put a little bit of pressure through that trigger point. And what I'm looking for is, one, if it's sensitive, well, if the trigger point's there at all, that's great because that means I can treat it. Two, if it's sensitive, then that's also great because that tells me that that patient, their tension is bumping up against that threshold line. So the amount of tension is like pretty much active. Like if they have an active headache or migraine, it'll be more sensitive. If they're like just hovering under that headache threshold, it'll be fairly sensitive. And if they are just under that headache threshold, when I push on it, sometimes it'll kind of reproduce a headache. And that's like the ding, ding, ding. I know that that is where the headache's coming from, and I can address that. I can calm that muscle down. And so how do we calm it down? Now, when I'm working on a patient, I use my hand. So I am working on initially just reducing the muscle tension because, like I said, it's kind of a distractor. I want to get to the joint itself. I want to get to the joints, and I want to make sure the joints are doing what they should, because if that patient is going to experience long-term relief past like just a couple hours after the appointment, then I need to make sure their joints are doing what they should. All right, so I'll reduce the amount of tension by putting a little sustained pressure. I'll find those little trigger points. And then I'll test the nodding and the rotation. Now, what I'm doing here in the session is I'm taking one hand and I'm blocking. So I'm using one of my fingers to put pressure on, let's say, the second bone. So if I want to test left rotation through the first and second cervical bones, I will put a finger on the undersurface on the left side of that second bone, and I will use kind of my shoulder and my other hand to rotate the head, which is then connected to C1, which will rotate C1, and I will see how far C1 and C2 will move before it bumps up against my finger. So in a patient that has no neck issues at all, I should be able to do that and they will have no pain and it will move about 45 degrees. They'll be laying there, we'll be having conversation. They won't feel anything. It'll just feel like I'm pushing on their shoulder or something like that. No pain associated with it. Now that, I mean, it's rarely ever happened. Usually what happens is I will put that specific pressure through that joint and I'm, one, pushing through muscles, so that's sensitive, but two, I'll hit a barrier in the joint pretty early, so I'll only move like 5 degrees, and then it'll start to hit the barrier. When I say barrier, I'm talking about those ligaments holding the joint together only want to move so far. And they're saying, okay, we'll give you 5 degrees, but after that, I'm not going to do the additional 40, so we're just going to stop there. And then once I hit that barrier, that's where I want to push another couple degrees, maybe 3 degrees or 5 degrees, and I want to push the joint past that. And so it's stuck at 5. It wants to go, it doesn't want to go further, but I want to push it further. So I'll push it to 8 degrees or 10 degrees, and then I'll come off of it. And then I'll push it again, and then I'll come off of it. And so I'm repeating this over and over and over again so that those ligaments realize, hey, we can actually move, because after they've been stretched to 10 degrees or 15 degrees or 20 degrees over and over and over again, then their new normal is not 5, it's now 10. And then the patient, without even, I mean, these movements are so subtle. I mean, I'm barely even turning the patient's head. And then when they leave here, they're like, wow, I can look over my shoulder again. And we didn't do anything that involved looking over the shoulder in the clinic. I didn't do any like neck stretches. I didn't have them pull on their head. I didn't do any of that. All I did was address this one specific joint so that their whole neck is now responding to it. And they go, wow, like everything feels looser. I feel that there's improved mobility. And it's just by addressing this one joint specifically, which is the key, is specifically, and the rest of the neck will feel better for it. Now, when I'm working on the head sitting on that first bone, same type of thing. So I'll take one hand, I'll block at C1. So I use one finger to basically say, all right, the first bone's not going anywhere. And then I'll take my shoulder and my hand and kind of gently push down and nod the head and see how much movement there is between the head and that first bone. Now, again, likely what's happening is probably stuck in like -3 degrees or so. And so I'll put a little bit of pressure and it might not even get to neutral. So that joint might be saying like, I'm stuck at -3 and I'm not moving at all. And so I have to like work to get it to neutral. And so I'm putting pressure, I'm stretching. And oftentimes what the patient feels is this sort of like, wow, that really feels like it needs to get stretched. That's painful. That feels like that's where my headache is, but it's kind of this therapeutic feeling. And then they might actually even get a headache or that pain, but as soon as I let go, it goes away, which is great. Because what I'm doing is I am actually increasing the amount of stress and tension through that specific joint. And I'm teaching it, okay, if you think you're okay with this much, I'm going to put double that. I'm going to encourage you to move double or triple. And so as I'm doing that over and over and over again, like I said, it resets the new normal of the joint. And so the joint is the target. The muscle is, it's not like we should just ignore the muscles, but they are kind of distractors if we're ignoring the joint. And that's why so many people will go so many years seeing massage therapists. Chiropractors have a little bit of a different focus, not so much on mobility. And this is the primary difference between what a chiropractor looking at alignment does and what I do looking at movement. But this lack of specificity on these joints and teaching them over and over and over again that they can move so that we're resetting what the new normal is for that joint. If we don't do that, then the patient's just going to continue to be in pain. And so that's what I do in the clinic. And then to go back and summarize, is it joints? Is it tendons? Is it muscles? Is it nerves? It's all the above, because if the joint doesn't move, the ligaments that hold it are going to be irritated. The muscle tendon junction is going to be irritated. I didn't mention this before, but the nerve is also kind of thrown into that because of tension in the muscles. The nerve runs through the muscles. The nerve can get irritated. So it's all of the above, but there's the caveat where the pain is likely going to be coming from the muscle itself, but to treat it effectively, we need to address the joints and how they're moving, or else the patient will just have temporary relief, which is very, very common. This is what people experience all the time. And then when they find their way in my office, we can work through this process. And again, I'm selling crockpots, not microwaves. It takes time, but it's worth it. If you've had migraines for 10 years, is 6 weeks sound like a long time? Probably not. That's usually what it takes to get these joints moving again. And then you're to the point where you're not reacting to headaches all the time. You're not reacting to migraines. Your life isn't being consumed with this because we've dropped that tension level in your neck so far below that threshold that you can tolerate. You can be resilient to a lot that life has to throw at you because your neck is moving as it should. All right. I hope this episode was helpful. I hope if you are not able to come see me that you have a better understanding so that in your appointment with your physical therapist, you can know what to experience or know what to feel. I hope that this helps explain the source of pain. And when you think of muscles and tendons and joints and nerves, that you can kind of put all that stuff together and make sense of it in your head. Thank you for listening to the Headache Doctor Podcast. Stay tuned next week for another episode that will help to empower you with headaches and migraines to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything you do. Thanks again for listening.